Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is Easter. This is the day, right? The big show, the event of all events in the Christian faith. This is what it's all about. And the star of the show, of course, is the risen Christ, right? The one who had crucified on Good Friday and then 3 days later rises again on Easter morning. And everybody can't wait to see him. As Paul says, he appears to 500 of the brothers at one time, and all sorts of other people he appears to James and to Cephas, Peter, and the 12, and all sorts of people he appears to, except in the gospel. Mark chapter 16, there's no Jesus in the gospel. He appears in Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians, but no Jesus in the gospel. We're here for Easter. We're here to praise Jesus, and there's no Jesus in Mark chapter 16. What do we do with that? Right? This is the resurrection story. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, they bring the spices. They're going to the tomb, and they get there, and there's no Jesus. He's not there. In fact, in all of our gospel reading, Mark 16, 1 through 8, Jesus isn't in any of it. He doesn't even have a word to say in our gospel today. So this is a weird Easter reading, right? We'd expect to have, you know, Jesus showing up and doing all of the things that Jesus does, and yet there is no Jesus on this Easter morning. They go to the tomb, enter the tomb because the stone had already been rolled away. They don't know by whom. It's just not there anymore. They go in and there's a guy sitting in a white robe. And as is pretty typical of the appearance of an angel to the people, is they're afraid. That's their first reaction, is they're alarmed. They're fearful. First, who rolled the stone away? Second, where is Jesus? And third, who is this guy sitting in the place of Jesus? What is going on here in this story? They're afraid, and he says to them the first thing that all angels say to human beings when they encounter them, and that is, don't be afraid, right? Fear not. Don't freak out. I'm just an angel here to tell you something. And he says to them, you see Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. So Christ is risen. Hallelujah. We get one day a year to do that. It'll come back around. Don't worry. It'll come back around. See the place where they laid him. There's no Jesus. He's not in the tomb. He's not hiding behind the stone to see who comes to see him at his you know, burial site. He's not somehow spying on them from another location. There's no closed circuit television. He's simply not there. He's not where he ought to be. He ought to be, as most dead bodies are, still in the place where you last left them. They ought not move anywhere. And yet here in this tomb, there is no Jesus. The angel says to the ladies, go and tell his disciples and Peter. Gotta add that. Disciples and Peter, you know, that rock-headed Cephas Peter, make sure you tell him specifically, because if you tell the others, then he's not quite going to get it. You have to make sure that the TV's off and the remote is down and you're looking face-to-face at Peter, or else he's not going to hear you. So tell Peter that Jesus is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. So there's no Jesus in Jerusalem anymore. There's no Jesus in the tomb anymore. There's no Jesus there to assure the ladies that everything's going to be okay. He is already preceding them to the next location. He's on his way to Galilee. However he's going to get there, Jesus is not where they expected him to be. I think that's something that we as human beings in this world, we somehow expect Jesus to be in a specific location. At least we'd like him to be in a specific location at a specific time so that we know we can encounter Jesus if we go to this place. And a lot of people spend a lot of time looking for him. They look for him on high, and they look for him down low, and they look for him in different books, and they look for him in all sorts of different places. The disciples thought that Jesus would be where they last left him. But he's not there. See, because it's not up to us to determine where Jesus is. We don't get to tell Jesus that you have to be in this time, at this place, in order for this to happen, because he doesn't follow our rules. And that's a struggle for us, because that's sort of out of our control, right? We like to have things in control. We like to sort of keep things where they ought to be. And well, especially with the Savior that you just wrapped up and laid in this tomb, you'd like him to be there when you go back again. But he's not. He's not in the tomb. He's not in Jerusalem. He's not where they last left him. So where do we expect Jesus to be? Where do we expect Jesus to be when we go to look for him? Where do we expect Jesus to be when we tell others to go look for him? Do we have a specific place in mind? Do we have a specific notion, a specific book of the Bible, a chapter, a verse? We expect Jesus to be there when we tell people to go look for him. Well, it would be helpful, wouldn't it? Jesus, if we want to come find you, where should we look? Should we go to the empty tomb? Should we make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land to see if Jesus is still there somehow? Buried in different places, maybe? Maybe somebody moved him after he had died? No. We have all sorts of hopes and expectations of Jesus that he's just not there. He's not in the gospel. But I'll tell you something. Jesus does promise to be in specific places at specific times. Now, they're specific to each of us. See, because when Christ, before he died and rose again, before that he was crucified, he said, "I will be with you. I will be with you wherever you are. Where two or three are gathered, there I am among you." So Jesus does give you a location. Now, it's not geographic. It's wherever two or three are gathered in his name. Jesus is there. So you can't tell someone, go find him. Because if they're wandering around by themselves looking for Jesus, the chances of them encountering him are slim to none, unless he decides to pull something like he did with Paul and encounter him on the road and that kind of thing. But we don't go looking for that. So Jesus promises, even though he's not in the tomb, even though he is risen and not there anymore, he promises to be where two or three are gathered. He promises to be where his word is. He promises to be where his sacraments are. His body and blood, his true presence right here with us today. So Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And he is with us. Here today. He is with you here today. So if we're going to tell people to go find Jesus, well, we probably ought to go with them. So there's at least two gathered in his name. If we tell people, come and see Jesus, we really ought to bring them with us so that there's at least two gathered in his name. When we tell people to read about Jesus in the scriptures, well, we ought to read with them so that there is two reading and hearing the voice of Christ in his word. See, notice who went to the tomb that morning. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. Three. Two or three gathered in his name. They go to the tomb. However, This time's a little different. This is the first time. This is the first gathering. This is where Jesus reveals where he's going to be. So Christ is here today. He is here with us. He is here gathered among us. He's here sitting with us. He's here waiting for us to come to the table. He's here in the Word. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And he is present with us today. Amen.